I don't know, but what maybe Brother Bill's afraid I'm going to be the one going to sleep, because they normally don't want to put a microphone on me. I told some this, I'll tell you, it's awful hard for a minister to really know how to approach speaking to a congregation. I have some at Lavernia that are rather elderly, and also at Valley Springs, but I'll speak about Lavernia. There's one that's pretty old, pretty hard of hearing, and he sits near the back, and he complains if I don't speak up. And one day I was in the stand, and I must have quietened down a little bit, and I caught a glimpse of him there, and he was starting to do like this, and I really started, well, I was getting too low, and I started to speak up, and then I looked right to his left there, and there sat my 5-year-old grandson doing this. So for one of them, I was not loud enough, and for another one, I was too loud. But I'll ask that you forgive me for being either too loud or too soft. I'll ask that you forgive me for failing to be a worthy mouthpiece for our Lord. But I have good news for you this afternoon. And if I can't say nothing else, I can attest to you from an assurance that He's here. He's here. He's been here. My prayer that, again, this afternoon for a little while, that Brother Mark and I are not getting away but where you can see Him. And that you can feel Him and that you can fellowship with Him. Because while I certainly love you and enjoy and have enjoyed since I've been here my fellowship with you, I know that it is the Savior that can really give you peace, comfort, joy, and make this meeting worthwhile for you. I have heard since I was blessed to be here from the beginning of this year some wonderful sermons, and seemed like every one of them took a part of what I might have had on my mind. But that's all right, because my mind was running here, yonder, and everywhere. I don't know how anybody could have missed it. But the very first thing was that Brother Chuck Sammons got in my chapter and almost my text, but he missed it and he slid just a little past it. And I was glad for that, but it's definitely a sister text. And the thing that I would like to call to your attention this afternoon for a little while, and I will be mindful of the time, Brother Mark, and if I'm not, raise your hand. And I will sit down shortly after you raise your hand. In the fourth chapter of the book of 1 John, back up, not the 19th verse, but the 10th verse. Brother Chuck told us that we love Him because He loved us. But I'm going to tell you that we're enabled to love Him because He loved us, because we know what love is. And we are able to love because He loved us, and I want to put that little conjunction in. Now, I talk about my wife a lot. She's not here, but that's all right. I talk about her even when she's not. I love my wife, and I tell her I love my wife, but not enough to satisfy her from time to time. But I will assure you, it is much more important, and I point this out to her, that I not just say the words, I love her, and then behave myself or act in a way that certainly does not demonstrate my love for her. And John, in writing here, says, and herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. This is an active part that God took to show and to prove to you and I, and then literally what allowed us to know and love Him and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. What did it take for Jesus Christ to do to be the propitiation for our sins? He had something to do. We have heard, and I'll say amen to, that Jesus Christ came and suffered, bled and died on the cross of Calvary in our room instead, and paid the price. You see, that's what the word propitiation means, is to reconcile or to pay the price for our sins. But I don't want this afternoon for you, and if I said that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and was buried in a borrowed tomb and stopped there, then I would have certainly have not been telling you the truth when I told you that He's here today. Because He rose from that tomb. And it is the resurrection. I believe it was the Apostle Paul in the 4th chapter of the book of Romans, in the 25th verse, who said this: He was delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification. Then the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, and I'd like to read a little bit to you here, and I hope I don't get to reading a whole lot from the Bible. You all can read. And I don't feel that it's the minister's duty to read the Bible to you, although sometimes I believe, as Brother Crane said, you know, I used to could quote some things. I never could quote them very good, and it's much easier and better most of the time for me to read them. But, you know, if I am blessed of God today to show you and allow you to feel the very presence and see Jesus Christ here, a risen Savior. You know, there are some in the world today, and I found it very disappointing. I went by to visit a member of the Valley Springs Primitive Baptist Church that's in a nursing home, and she's getting quite elderly and is starting to fail some. And she told me the last time I was there, she said, you know, I'm beginning to not even believe in the resurrection. I think once you're dead, you're just dead. And I thought, how sad. And I tried to speak again to a little while to that sister to remind her as of what the Apostle Paul said: if in this life only we had hope of Christ, we'd be of all men most miserable. I want you to know I understand, and you all know I have a good time. I joke with you. Old age is not for sissies. Old age is tough. The old and that these bodies get, the infirmities, and all of you young folks here, and I'm proud to see you, you'll know that someday. Experience it, I have. But I want you to know that whenever that we have a hope in Christ Jesus, who is a risen Savior, and one that visits us on a regular basis. Amen. You know, He told us in the book of Revelations, I believe it is, when He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who will open, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. And that's not to get into heaven in immortal glory. That's this afternoon for you. Amen. To come in and sup with him and him with you, and enjoy a meal that's even better than that we had at noon today. I want you to know this natural food will go away quicker than that spiritual food will. I didn't gather up 12 basketfuls out there. They caught me. I tried. But I want you to know, it's all right. The Lord will allow, and He even recommends that whenever He feeds you this afternoon, that you gather up the basketful and take with you to sustain you in the times between the time that you come in His presence and you're with Him. The Apostle Paul found a group, as I said, I did that dear sister. And he talked to them in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And he says this, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" I want you to know there are some in the world today that are still saying that there is no resurrection from the dead. But I want you to know, I'm glad to report that the grave couldn't hold our Savior Jesus Christ. Men couldn't kill Him. Satan couldn't tempt Him. The grave couldn't hold Him. But He is risen victorious. And because He lives, we shall live also. And because He reigns, we have the opportunity to reign with Him, to feed with Him, to feast with Him, and to enjoy even moments of time in this life, in this country that we're not citizens of. We're just passing through. We're headed toward our homeland. And some sweet day, because that Jesus Christ raised from that tomb, we shall be carried there. And you won't have to pay a fare. You won't have to pay a fare. You're going there by the grace of God and unmerited favor. You're going there. You know, the Apostle Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans said this, "If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He shall also quicken." The word quicken means make alive. "He shall also quicken your mortal bodies." Now, I know you all don't think I look good, but I'm kind of in love with myself up here. I have a desire. I have a need. That I have some comfort and joy that the grace of God is even going to take care of it. He's going to change it. And I'm glad for that. There's a few things I'd even change myself. But I want you to know He's not going to leave it in this bow state. He's going to change it, and He's going to make it into a state that's glorified. And if you want to know what the glorified state's going to kind of be like, I'll tell you. It's going to be like the body of Christ. It's going to be perfect. Without sin, without mortality. You know, I can't, and we also heard a sermon about the unsearchable. Brother Billy used that word, unsearchable. He didn't say don't search, but he said it's unsearchable, you know? And there's a difference, but that was his sermon. I want you to know that Jesus Christ blesses you and I in this lifetime. And I know He has since you've been here at this place. Unless you just got here, you have been getting blessings from the God of heaven through the presence of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the moving of the Holy Spirit throughout the congregation, upon the ministers, in the song service, in the prayers, and in the preaching that He's blessed us with today. And I know that He is able to continue that, not just in this service this afternoon, but throughout the weekend. And not just here, but wherever some of us will be in other places this weekend in the service. What a great God. But the Apostle Paul said, if Christ be preached that He raised from the dead, how come, or how is it there's some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? There is no resurrection. And then he points out what we are if there is no resurrection. And I want you to know, I couldn't be getting excited about that message. I'd have to be very forlorn and very sad to report, because here's what that message would be. The Apostle Paul says, but if there is no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not risen. Then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, Christ is a failure. And not only is Christ a failure, God's the Father is a failure. And not only is God the Father and Christ a failure, the Holy Spirit of God is a failure also. But I'm thankful to tell you that the Bible tells us without a doubt of a certainty that He faileth not. There is no wavering. His arm is not short. He has all power. The word power means the authority and the ability. I don't have the authority and the ability, but He has all authority and ability, so He faileth not. So the grave could not hold Him. But we don't have to, you don't just have to take my word. We have it preserved. We have it preserved. You know, I've tried to preach in this times past about the different types of assurances and testimonies that we have in the Bible that God is God and that His Son Jesus Christ is a successful Savior. First of all, we find that the prophets prophesied of it, and we have seen most, not necessarily you and I with our own eyes, but men have seen with their own eyes the truthfulness of that they prophesied of. But lest we not believe that, we have been blessed to hear angels from heaven testify. You want to know where Jesus Christ really was? Jesus Christ? An angel from heaven testified unto Joseph and said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that is consumed within her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall," I can hear Brother Jesse Bass now, "and she shall bring forth a son, and he shall save his people from their sins." An angel said that. An angel said that. And you know what? That angel traverses from God down to the humanity and back. I want you to know they're messengers of God. God sent that angel to say that. Well, that's good. Okay, so a prophet got it too. That might be pretty good. An angel said it. That's even a little stronger witness for the lawyers in the crowd. I'm now going to give you the third witness. And this witness is God Himself. When His Son came up out of the water after being baptized by John the Baptist, the Spirit of God descended upon Him in the form of a dove. That wasn't a bird. That was the Spirit of God. It was just in the form of a bird that it descended there and said, "This is my beloved Son." That's not an angel. That's not a prophet testifying. That's God. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." I want you to know Jesus Christ was not a failure. Jesus Christ did not come up short. Jesus Christ did not hang on the cross, give His life, shed His blood, but then couldn't come out of the tomb. He came out of the tomb. He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because He lives, we live also. I want you to know, because He lives, we live today also. But I want you to know also, because He lives, we will live with Him in eternity as He is. Not in the vile bodies that we now possess in this life, in this world. But I said, what did He have to do? What was the price? What condition were you and I in when He found us? We have heard quoted the word that it says that He found, and I forget who it was, one of the ministers said before we ever read it in the Bible, he was both praying, he said before we ever read it in the Bible, he had experienced it himself because God had found him in a horrible pit. That God had found him in a waste howling wilderness. But I want you to know, we have described for us in the Bible by a prophet who penned down what God told him to say exactly as God told him to say it. I want to show you the state that man by nature was in. And I use the word was. I'm glad we're not in it now. Was in. We'll go to the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And I want to show you the picture that the writer has pinned down for you and I about the state that we were in when we found God. No, when God found us. First of all, in the state we were in, we couldn't have found Him. If He'd have walked by, we couldn't tell who He was. And we certainly couldn't look for Him and wouldn't have if we could have. But I want you to know here is the state that we were in. The prophet writing as though he were God, he said, "And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted," we were in a polluted state. Do you know what the word polluted means there? And it means, there's not just a few trash cans in our waterway. Do you know what the word polluted means there? We were downtrodden. We were the base. The very bottom. We were downtrodden. He found us polluted. Notice this. In thine own blood. Polluted in thine own blood. Where did we get that blood that was polluted? From our father Adam and our mother Eve. Don't want to leave that woman out. From our father Adam and our mother Eve. I want you to know, the apostle asked them a question. You know, there's some folks that thought, well, okay, so they were bad, but I come forth good, and if I maintain after I reach the age of 12 and hold firm, then I'll never be polluted. The apostle said, can a clean thing come from an unclean? That's an impossibility. That's an impossibility. You show me a pecan tree that's got an apple on it, and then I might believe, unless you went and tied that apple on it. I'm talking about that really grew that apple. And then I might believe that a clean thing could come from an unclean. Because I know it can't, just like an apple can't grow on a pecan tree. Or a pecan on a peach tree. Can't happen. We were polluted in our own blood. Now I want you to know, even if I wanted to talk about work salvation eternally today, I want you to know I'd have to talk about a polluted thing bringing themselves to a clean state with polluted blood, with polluted works, with polluted everything, and that just won't work. That won't work at all. He passed by, and he saw us in a state of pollution, and we were polluted in our own blood. And then he said, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, if you'll just believe. If you'll just take a little water and clean off just a little bitty spot. No, that wasn't what he said. What did he say? What did he say? One word. Live. Live. You know how simple the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ is. We don't need to muddy it up. We don't need to try to make it difficult. That sounds like what our legislators do to the IRS laws. Something that could be so simple, they make so difficult. I want you to know, theologians and so-called religions of the world today do the same thing. Jesus Christ saw us in a terrible condition. And all he said was one word, live. Live. He speaks and it's done. He commands and it stands fast. Some people say, he can't do that. That's too late. He just look at you and he say, live. Maybe you don't want to live. Maybe you're a little bit more polluted than he thought. He can't do that. That's too hard for him. Who does he think that he is? I don't know. He took nothing and created everything. Who is he? What kind of limitations does he have? He took just pure dust and made a man. And that was good. And that was something. That man still was dead. But then he looked at him and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And you know what? That man could walk and talk and jump and run and sing and name everything that God had created. All he had to say is live. But he didn't stop there. Oh, I'm glad he didn't stop there. But that would have been wonderful. If that's all I had, I could tell you, suffer in this life. Don't worry about it. There's coming a time when you're going to live with Him in eternity. But I'm proud to report that we can have the earnest of that inheritance today. I'm greedy. Are you? I want some. I want some of that earnest. And I want it now. I don't have much patience either. I want it now. Live, yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou hast increased and waxen great. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, and you've heard this proclaimed to you, but I'm going to reaffirm it. You don't know how blessed we are today. You don't know how blessed we are in this life. You don't know how blessed you really are when you're facing the worst troubles and tribulations that you might have. I don't care, children, whenever your mama is the maddest at you that she can be, or your father, because you have done something. You are blessed because you have a friend that sticketh closer to the brother. He won't stop you from getting that chastisement right there, or at least he didn't me from my father. But I want you to know, we can still take consolation. We can still rejoice. We can still understand. My daddy used to always tell me every time he whipped me. Some of you wonder if he ever did. He did. He used to tell me he did it because he loved me. And after I grew up, I knew that's right. But you know, sometimes I wish he didn't love me so much. But I want you to know the same thing is true of our Heavenly Father. The Bible says that He chastises whom that He loves. I want you to know, when the chastening rod of God comes upon us, it's not pleasant at that time. But I want you to know, that is another assurance. That's another evidence that He loves us. And you know, if He loves us, He said live. He said live. Says, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxed and great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. What's an ornament? What's an ornament? I guess the most common ornaments that we know are what? Those things we hang on Christmas tree. Does it make the Christmas tree? Yeah. That's a tree. What does it do to the tree? It enhances it. It makes it pretty. It adds something to it. You know what we've got that's been added to it as our ornaments? You're getting it today. You're enjoying it now. You enjoyed it this morning. You can enjoy it every time you go to a meeting. I want you to know the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. And He has promised to be with you in six troubles, and yea, in the seventh shall no evil overcome you. And the word, and the number seven there means the last one. And the six is all the others, I guess. I want you to know, He's with you. He sticketh closer than a brother. He is one that will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He did all of this for you and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. I want you to know. And then He says here, thy breasts are fashioned and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. That's the state we were in when we were polluted in our own blood. We were without covering. That's what the word naked means. We were without covering. There was nothing that would cover our pollution of ourselves. You could have been the best boy you wanted to be, Brother Mike. You could have just been the best husband you wanted to be. You could have been the best father you wanted to be. Someday you'll be a grandfather. You could have been the best grandfather you would want to be. It wouldn't cover you. The Apostle Paul on another occasion said this, though we sell all of our goods, give them to the poor. Won't work. Not enough. though we do anything and everything that is within our power, we're still naked. We're still polluted in our own blood. But when He said live, that's it. But then He enhances that. He says, I am come that they may have life. This has been quoted also. And that they may have it more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I certainly am enjoying this abundance life. I am enjoying this abundant life. It's good. I was pretty sleepy before I got up here. If y'all get sleepy, stand up and jump around a little bit. Wake me. I want you to know God is blessing us and has promised that He will continue to bless us all the days of our life. Now, I won't throw some in here. You know, I hope, and there are people, and I, most ministers, have the awesome responsibilities from time to time to work with families who are downtrodden and sad because of the death of a loved one or because of the critical illness or situation of a loved one. And you know, I don't know, and I, if they do, would they please share with me? There's no magic formula to tell those people. But I want you to know one thing. I'm thankful that I can point them to one that does have the answer. I'm thankful that I can point them to one that has suffered that, that has faced that, that has conquered that, that is touched by the infirmities of our hearts and of our souls. And they'll comfort you in that point in time. They're there. He's there. He blesses graciously, lovingly. I want you to know that this abundant life is in that time too. You know, Job suffered a lot. Go back and read Job. Job suffered a lot. He was a rich man. He was a powerful man. He was a good man. All in the Scripture. He was a good man. But he lost everything. All his children, lives were lost. The cattle, the camels, all of his wealth. And even his natural body was afflicted with sores from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Terrible situation. Terrible situation. But you know what? This same Jesus gave old Job the abundant life too. Even in that time of tribulations and trials and troubles, He blessed Job even when his friends and even his wife said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Job said, oh, you speak as a foolish man. You speak as a foolish man. But the thing that I want out of this is Job, through the blessings of God, was able to say, and I can't quote it, so I am going to read it. The 24th verse, or beginning, now I'm going to back up and begin with, I guess it's the 23rd verse of the 19th chapter of Job. Here's what Job said. Here was an afflicted man. You know, I heard Elder Dickie Daniels say not long ago, talking about a lady who was a member at the Florence Church, Sister Thelma Baker. You're well. She had cancer back in a time when they really didn't know as much about it as they do now. And it was in her spine and in her back, and she had an open sore on her back for probably about the last 4 or 5 years of her life. And it was a terrible pain. But every time you saw Sister Thelma, you'd say, how are you? She said, blessed above measure. Blessed above measure. Now, it wasn't because of her physical state, and it wasn't because someone was there visiting her, but it was because Jesus Christ was there making known to her the blessings that He was providing for her. And I want you to know, she didn't even then begin to to know the half of it. But she does now. She does now. The Apostle Paul said, why, the trials and troubles of this life are not to be compared with the glory that is laid up for us. But I'll tell you what, we can enjoy in this life, and we can have that abundant life. But Job said, oh, that my words, and you need to read those words. Oh, they were sweet. They were good. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. They are, Job. They're here. The Lord has preserved them for me and for you and for all ages. That they were given, graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. And they are. They're leaded in the rock. The rock, Christ Jesus. I want you to know that's what the word leaded means. That means they're placed in there where they will not be moved nor removed. They won't dim nor fade away. I want you to know. He says, for I know how blessed we are because we know something. What is it that we know? Go over again to 1 John. I won't even begin to do that. And read over there the things that it says, for we know. I want you to know. You don't have to guess about these things. God has made them known to us. For we know. But here is what Job said. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knows that he's alive. This had happened before Jesus ever came down here. Before he ever hung on the cross, before he was ever crucified, before he ever went in the tomb. But Job said, I know that he's alive. I know he's alive. You see, he wasn't one of those over that Paul was talking to in the church of Corinth, was he? No, sir. Job didn't say that. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worm destroy this body. Even there is nothing that can happen to us that the power of God will not overcome. Those skin worms devour this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. I want you to know, Job knew it didn't matter how the sores went. Job knew it didn't matter how the riches or the wealth of this life went. Job knew that he's going to see God with his own eyes. And you know what? You and I can say the same thing. By the same power that Job was able to say, that we know that we shall see him. We shall see him with our own eyes and not those of another. I want you to know we are blessed beyond measure. There are multiplied millions of God's people from the creation of time through today and through until Jesus Christ comes back and declares that time shall be no more. Do not have that assurance. Are not blessed with that knowledge and that understanding. I'll tell you what, if nothing else, we ought to be on our knees every night thanking God for the peace and comfort that we have. Because these brethren will tell you too, you can't leave a loved one at the grave except to have that assurance and that knowledge. Except to be able to assure that family. I never will forget it. I've probably already quit preaching if I ever tried. I want you to know I was at a 14 years old. Was a pallbearer. First time I was ever a pallbearer. Had a little 18-month-old niece of mine that died. And I'll never forget her mother crying, saying, I don't want to leave her here. It was raining in this cold, wet ground. But I want you to know, I'm thankful that the minister could say, she's not here. She's not in this cold, wet ground. She's in the very portals of heaven at this moment in time. She's not waiting, trying to get there. She's not anywhere except there in the august presence of God with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, enjoying in spirit that fleshly body that we did leave there in that tomb. We'll someday be reunited and carried there. Why? Because God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I told my wife, if I never tell you I love you again, but if I treat you in a way that does not bring you pain or heartache, if I treat you in a way that shows you that I love you, you'll be much better off. I'll tell you what, the Lord tells us He loves us, but He shows us by what He did for us that He loves us, and we, our spirit, is renewed in that day by day. What a blessing we have. I hope the Lord will continue to bless you, not just this day and in this meeting with that, but every time that you face a trouble or a trial, lay hold on it. Lay hold upon that truth. Thank Him for that knowledge and that understanding. Help one another to persevere in that knowledge while we live in this world. Here's my prayer. Thank you. Come ahead, Brother Martin.